We have a local deacon here, Mr. Robert Nettles.
It's been a while. As a matter of fact, I was just looking, I was checking to see when I last spoke, and it was back on May 6th of this year. So I have spoken. I actually did, I've had a couple of assignments this year, so I haven't been completely lazy. And so before I begin, I want to go ahead and give everyone a prayer update. Now, I know Mr. Knutson just gave the announcements, but I want to give a personal prayer update because you've been praying for me for some time. I know a lot of folks here in this congregation have kind of followed the journey that I've, been treading. So I had my last, the third nerve block injection, which really, it helped a lot. It's a series of three so far, and to kind of explain to everyone what happened, I had a very serious accident back in 2001, had a fusion in my neck. Well, now I'm getting old, so that's been a while back, and I've got a lot of stuff going on, so I had pinched nerves. Made it almost impossible to sit up or sit in a spot for any length of time. I'm finally seeing the relief, and God is answering the prayer, so that's a good thing. Now, with that said, I want to get prepared for where I'm going from here. Today I'm going to be keeping my word to a very special friend of mine, someone who God gave to me when I needed someone most. Back on June 6th, 2017, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, stage 4 bladder and prostate cancer. And when you receive a phone call like that from your doctor, it gets your attention. In fact, it changes your whole life. When you receive that news, wow, I felt so lost, alone. My wife was right there. My son was there. You folks were all here. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I didn't have anyone around me. I just didn't have anyone that could relate to what I was going through around me. And this is where that special person came into play, and God provided this person. So today I'm going to dedicate this message and keep my word to Parisha Doyle. And on December 6th this year, Parisha lost her fight with cancer. But you know what? She finished the fight. She finished the race. She was an incredible person. For those of you that knew her, I don't have to say anything. But for those of you that didn't know her, she is a very special lady. I'll give you just a little backstory on it. This year at the feast, I had the honor of spending 2 days with Parisha. Well, several weeks before the feast, her doctor sent her home with days, hours to live. We're done. There's nothing more we can do. Parisha had different plans. So what she did is she made a point, and she made it to God's feast one last time this year. And I had the honor and the privilege of spending some time with her. She gave me the support, the strength. Wow, what happened to me? Well, it got worse. It really did. It got worse after that because, at the time, she had just gone out of remission, and her cancer had come back. So we had something we could really share with one another. And it scared both of us. Really did. We didn't know what to do. So that's where today's message comes into play. And I gave her my word that if she didn't make it to the feast next year and she loses her fight with cancer, I would talk about what she and I learned during our journey together. The title of today's message, and it's very important you listen to this, why must, and I'm going to emphasize on my notes, must is spelled in big bold letters, capitalized, with quotations. It's not an option. Why must we suffer? Why must we suffer? Now, you would think that that's what she and I talked about, is all the pain we were going through. Now, what do you think about when you hear the word suffer? It kind of hurts just to say the word suffer or suffering. There's just something wrong. It doesn't feel good, right? Well, suffering actually goes a lot farther than just that. Suffering is a huge word. It's a huge word. Covers a lot of territory. You know, today's message isn't about Parisha and I. It has nothing to do with really us. It has to do with all of us, what we go through. Now, have you ever been around the person that seems everything goes right for this person? Everything goes right. Never gets hurt. Never had a broken bone. Never had a cold. Maybe a sniffle here and there. Okay? They just live that charmed life, whatever you want to call it. They don't seem to go through any trials, at least that we can see. They don't seem to endure any pain, at least that we know about. But you know what? One thing I will say, if they're in God's church, if they're part of God's church, you're going to suffer. And that's a promise. That's a guarantee. It's not something that's an option. And there's different levels. You know, I may be able to handle more, unfortunately, than some other people as far as some of the physical suffering may go. Now it's funny. When I say suffering, I first thought comes to my mind is pain and hurt. Okay. What about grief? What about grief? When you lose somebody. Now, on December 8th, when I got a text from my wife, when I received the text from my wife, where they had announced that my special friend Parisha had lost her fight with cancer. Well, I knew she had finished her race. We had already talked about that. She knew what was on the other side. But here's a byproduct from enduring grief. Is I've never really had what you call vivid emotions, huge emotions, where I don't cry readily. You know, I get a little misty when things are sad or whatever. But I've never been a person who's cried or become very emotional. That all changed on December 8th, truthfully. It all changed. I thought the neighbors were going to come over to see if there was something they could do to help me because I was wailing so loud when I lost my friend. That was grief. I hurt in my stomach. It hurt so bad. And it had nothing to do with me cutting myself, stubbing a toe. It had to do with the loss. Some of the worst pain you can experience has to do with losing someone you love or someone who is there for you. It's difficult. Now, it's funny. I'm sitting here looking at my notes, and I'm not reading a word out of them. So let's go ahead and get familiar with the word first, suffer. You know, and this is from, I'm a Mac guy, so this is from the Apple Dictionary. Okay, and the word suffer from the Apple Dictionary, and I'm not going to cover everything. Hurt, ache, be in pain, there it is. Feel pain, yes. Be in distress, be upset, be miserable, be troubled with, undergo, experience, be subject to. Okay, well, let's into that one right now. And let's move on to the word suffering. Okay, that was the word suffer. And still from the Apple Dictionary, or the Apple Thesaurus, I'm sorry. Hardship, distress. The words change a little bit here. Distress, misery, wretchedness, adversity, tribulation. Now here's that word again. Pain, agony, anguish, trauma. See how big the word is? Is it starting to take on a little bit of magnitude to us? How big? Just that word, suffering. Wow. I mean, it goes on and on. Now, I don't want these all to be my words today, so I want to pull out something from the church. I want to read a little bit, just a few segments from the church's, it's the Bible study course, lesson 4. If anybody happens to still have that on hand, you can check, see if I'm on track with this. And lesson 4, and why does God allow suffering? Now, I want to stop there for a second. Because you think about it, if you ask that question to somebody who hasn't been called, who hasn't been given the knowledge that you and I have been given, at least I hope we've been given that knowledge, when they say, why does God allow suffering? Well, they're indifferent to it. They really don't know. You know, I mean, this, that, and that. They don't have an answer. Well, today, brother, and I think everybody here kind of knows where I'm going with this, God doesn't just suggest we suffer. He commands we're going to suffer. He's going to tell us. And as we go through this message, we're going to see it hurts to live in this life. It really does. And when I say hurt, there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of grief. As Mr. Camarada brought out, it's a terrible world out there. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of agony. You know, what about those that make others suffer? You know, wow, I don't want to be that person to make others miserable, to make them suffer. I don't want to be that person. I want to be the person that lifts that sorrow. Isn't that what God tells us we need to be? So anyway, I want to read, why must Christians suffer? One of the greatest puzzles for many people is why God allows good people to suffer. Wow. And again, sometimes it's all God's fault. You know I personally, when I've gone through some of my trials over the past several years, I've wrestled with God. I truly have. I'm not going to sit here and say I've gone through this with grace and dignity. Wow. Yeah. Not. I have argued with God. There's times where I've challenged God, and it's, why me? And I've said this. I'm sorry. It's what it is. Something I learned, now I'm not going to say, why me? And after spending some time with a special friend who kind of set me straight, she was reaching the end of her fight, the end of her race. And that's what this is. This is a fight that we're in. We're all in the middle of a battle. And you don't know where the next punch is coming from. And that next punch may be the one that knocks you out. It really is. And it can come out of nowhere. It can come out of nowhere. It can happen tomorrow. Do you think it's guaranteed? We're going to suffer. We need to accept this, but it's how we go through the event. It's not the magnitude of the suffering. It's not the magnitude of the sorrow. You know, tomorrow, if someone dies tomorrow, everything that they were worrying about today didn't mean a thing. I want you to think about that. Really think about that. Okay, so again, I haven't started reading yet. What is the benefit, many ask, of trying to live according to God's instructions if we all have to suffer? And everyone's heard of this. A best-selling book states the dilemma in its title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Wow. Yeah, I think we could all tell stories. Yeah, I know that there are a lot of, we heard Mr. Knutson during the announcement. There are a lot of things. There's a lot of suffering going on in this world. It really is. There's a lot of suffering going on in this church. I talk to people constantly. They've got issues. We're losing loved ones. People are, it's just situation after situation. Is it getting worse? No, I can't say for sure. I honestly can't. Excuse me. Because, I can just imagine back in World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the people that were going through those kind of challenges, they were thinking the end was down the road, just right around the corner, right? Okay, well, as bad as it is today, who knows when it's going to happen? Who knows when it's going to come? The crux of this message is we've got to be ready today. We've got to be ready tomorrow. We've got to be ready tonight at midnight. We've got to be ready all the time. It's not just something that, okay, I'm going to plan for this. Let's see, as soon as I get this out of my way, I'm going to go ahead and start planning on my eternity. Wait a minute. No, that's not the way it works, right? We work on that constantly. So exactly what do we get out of suffering? And why does God allow us to suffer? What do we get out of it? There's got to be something. Is there a byproduct? Is there a benefit to us? I just mentioned something a few minutes ago. Now, I did so much better. In fact, I know my wife's going to tell me after I'm done today that, see, it wasn't as bad as you thought. I couldn't rehearse. I couldn't even go through and talk about my dear friend, my special friend, because I became so emotional. Well, that scared me, and I couldn't practice or couldn't rehearse this message. I'm just sitting here thinking right now with very fond memories of what she asked me to do, because she didn't have that voice. And most of the women in the congregation understand they've got forums that they can voice, they can do, but they can't stand in front of everybody like I am today and share some of the things that she may have learned during her journey as she reached the end of her journey. And she asked me specifically, please tell them that suffering is something that is a good thing. What? Suffering is something that is a good thing? Yes, it is. It is something that's good. It's something that's going to strengthen us. It helps us to become better members of the God family. Now, I'm going to continue in the Bible study course. The book of 1 Peter deals specifically with the suffering of Christians. Peter understood the significance of the suffering of people who lived righteously in the light of Jesus Christ and his suffering. Peter notes two categories of suffering. One is for righteousness' sake and brings us nearer to the kingdom of God. The other is largely unnecessary because it's usually the result of problems we bring on ourselves. We make a lot of bad decisions in our life. We really do. And we bring on a lot of the calamity. We bring on a lot of the issues that we suffer from time to time. We earnestly need God's help, however, during both types of suffering. Now, I'm going to stop there because it says both types of suffering. I'm going to just mention something here, and we're not going to turn to Job, but what about Job? I'm going to ask, what about Job? Now, and when you go to Job 1:1, okay, what about Job? You know, that's kind of the opening line, so to speak. But bottom line is, what did Job do to deserve any of the trials, any of the suffering, one after another after another? What did he do? As a matter of fact, he did nothing. He is a righteous man. I mean, God, he had confidence. And this is something I want to point out. And wow, I kind of get it now in a weird way. God had the confidence in Job to say, okay, see what you can do with him. Turn Satan loose on him. He really did. Now, and we know, for all of us that have read the book, Job stood true. He stood strong time and time and time again. Yeah, there was a little attitude problem there at the end. You know, where were you when I? Okay, yeah. If that's all I did, I'd feel pretty good about myself right now through the trials I've been through, and it is nothing to the extent of what Job went through. Nothing. So does God have a purpose for us to suffer? 1 Peter, let's turn over to 1 Peter 2 real quick. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. Or 21, I'll start in 21. For to this you were called. For to this you were called. This is where we're going to start this. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures very quick. And I don't expect everybody to turn to each one of them. But if you want to jot them down, I can go ahead and just read them out of my notes. I think it'd save us a lot of time. I've got to keep my eye on the clock because I probably have more information than I can cover. Okay, so let's turn over to Philippians 1:29. And I will have you turn there real quick. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ. For to you, everybody here, everybody who has been baptized, everyone that has been given the knowledge and understanding of the Sabbath, the holy days, what God has shared with us. We don't go to Jesus Christ unless God the Father calls us directly. And he has opened our eyes. He's opened our ears. We understand what it is all about. He tells us right here, for it is to you, it has been granted to you. It's been given to you. It's a grant. Here you go. This is your lot in life. Now, let's go ahead and conclude or finish this up. Not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So we're going to suffer for Jesus Christ. And you're going to hear a lot of scriptures like this. 1 Peter 2:19, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience, if a man for conscience towards God make God endure grief, suffering wrongly. Okay, this is thankworthy. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, this is a key. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So The reason why I'm going through these specific scriptures, when you're in the middle of that, I'll call it that mega trial, that big one. And I think a lot of us here have been through that big one, that big set of trials that it just seems to compound and come. You start questioning sometimes. No, maybe it's just me, but I've got a suspicion that few others might have the same weakness when things get so tough, you can't carry the load. And after so long, the pressure becomes so what do? Well, you know what? God is there constantly. But God also provides us with what we need when we need it. And it's so incredible the way he does that. Now, we're going to go through some other scriptures here. And I think everybody would expect me to turn here. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to start reading in verse 23. And this has to do with us, not me, not you, not individuals. It has to do with us collectively. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need. But God, here we go, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which it lacks. So he strengthens it. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. Interesting how it says that. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we do it together. Now, do I do this with my blood family? My blood family is not in God's church. I have to admit, no. I rely on you. Now, when I was going through my biggest trials, when they started in June 6, 2017, I just want to share a little bit of that. God gave me so much right when I needed it most. When I needed, where I felt like, man, this was just too intense. Stage 4 cancer, what am I going to do? Well, fast forward to June 13th, 2018, just a few months back. And I learned my cancer had metastasized. That was just devastating. That meant it took a walk, okay? It's no longer where it was isolated, and now I've got a little bigger issue than I thought I had. This is when that friend of mine, her experience came into play. And this is where I want to encourage everyone here to look for those opportunities to share your knowledge and experience with others. You know, look for those opportunities. You know, we don't sit back like it was said and wait for people to knock on our door and say, hey, I'm here. Can you help me now? No, we go out and look for those situations and those opportunities. Parisha was right there. And she says, Robert, her cancer had come back too. Because when I first met Parisha Doyle, she was in remission. Now, they don't call what I'm going through right now remission, but I'm telling you folks, I'm standing here healthy in front of you today. All right? My prayers have been answered. The strength and support that I gained from Parisha was incredible. I hesitate to share this, but she told me where her thoughts and prayers were as she reached the end of her road. They weren't on herself. Not once. She was concerned about those she loved, those she was leaving behind, because she knew, here's the key, and it really is, it's so simple. She knew what was on the other side. She knew the next time she opened her eyes where she would be. There was not a doubt in her mind. There was no doubt. Well, I've got to admit one more time, I want to get that doubt gone out of my mind. Maybe that's why I'm still here. I don't know. God's going to give us what we need when we need it and how much we need of it. I mean, it's that simple. So, see where I was at. I got to keep better track my notes. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter covers suffering. And it's 1 Peter 4. And I'm going to start reading first in verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. And this is the different kind of suffering that has to do with the bullies, if you will, of the world. Those that point fingers with us. Those that judge us and make us do things, such as Mr. Camarado was talking about how 3 o'clock, okay, I got to talk to this guy because I'm not going to be here on the Sabbath. I just can't do this. Well, do you think Joe suffered just a little bit as he agonized over that inevitable meeting? Yeah, that's suffering in the world, in a weird way, but he's doing that for righteousness' sake. He's saying, you know what? I'm not going to go to work on Saturday. I've got to confront this. You know, I just suck it up. You know, let's go in and talk to this guy. I better let him know, because, and guess what? He came back and he continued his job. He didn't lose it. And this is why God does challenge us and give us tests. I'll call them opportunities, for lack of a better word. Some stronger and more intense than others. He wants to know who you are and who I am. All right, am I going to turn away from him? Right now I can honestly say no. Tomorrow, depending on the challenge, and this is where the heart of this message is. No matter how well you think you've got your arm wrapped around this today, you better hold on a little tighter, because guess what? Like was also said in that first message, we're getting so close. We don't know when that last day might be. We don't know when our last day might be. Parisha shared with me when I talked to her. This is a comment that I thought was really interesting. I'm so glad to see you, Parisha. I'm bawling my eyes out. And she says, well, I could have got hit by a car on the way over. But she was right. It doesn't matter, okay? For her and I, and it was funny, we laughed about this. It was simple. We knew what we were fighting. I knew what it was. I mean, I had a diagnosis. So did she. It's everybody else that she, frankly, I am concerned about as well. Because, you know what, you don't know how bad you're suffering at this point in time. And you need, or others. Sometimes you might be the one inflicting suffering on others. We don't want to do that. How do we do that? Well, did you say something nice about that person, or did you say something unnice about that person? You know, those things really affect people. I want to read out of a different translation now. Better check the time, okay. 2 Corinthians 4. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, and I'll start reading in verse 16. And I know I didn't finish my last scriptures. Somebody's going to tell me that after I'm done. But I'm going to drop down to 2 Corinthians 4 and start reading in verse 16. And this is out of the Amplified Version of the Bible. I really like the way some of the phrasing is. You got to be careful, depending on what translation, but this speaks it properly. Therefore, we do not become discouraged and spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. Though our outer self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self being progressively renewed day by day. This is the key right now. I love this. For our momentary light distress, I don't care what you are going through. I don't care what I am going through. That brief moment in time that God has granted each one of us to be on this earth, to take this test. Yeah, there's no makeups. You got to do it right the first time. We've got to do it. Let me continue here. For the momentary light distress, this passing trouble is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparisons, a transcendent splendor and an endless blessedness. Verse 18, so we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things that are visible, it's gone, disappears, doesn't matter, okay? I just blew up the motor of my car, you know what? doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You know, you will get that fixed eventually. The physical things that we sit and whine about, moan about, and we get stressed out about cause our own suffering. And that's causing our own suffering. We need to just forget about that stuff. God knows what we need, and He gives it to us when we need it, if we are obeying His laws. In the International Standard Version, you don't have to turn there, 1 Peter 1, in this you greatly rejoice. Okay, yeah, whatever. Okay, though now for a little while you have to suffer various kinds of trials. Verse 7, so the genuineness, so God knows who you are. He knows who I am. If you make it past this without giving up the fight, and it's so easy. There's times when you're in that heat of battle where that fight, it seems like a losing one, you know. And this is where I come into play, you come into play. We encourage each other. We share similar circumstances, situations. When I learned I had cancer, there was no one here, thankfully, for me to relate to. That was a good thing. I was alone. That was a good thing. Well, I had met somebody who had experienced with what I was now going through. And God gave her to me right when I needed it. Out of the American King James Version. No, let's go ahead and back up one more. Oh, okay. Verse 7 of the International Standard of 1 Peter. So that the genuineness of your faith, which is more valuable than gold that perishes when it is tested by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When we open our eyes, or if we're called, you know, at the trump, bottom line is, we want, I so look forward to it. I've got that vision. The one thing I know about my special friend, she had that vision so clear in her mind, in her head. She shared it with me, and that was so incredible. I'll remember that forever. She knew what she was going to do, and she wasn't sad. She wasn't sad. No, she didn't want to leave. Don't get me wrong. No one wants to go. But when you know it's there and you know what to expect, it makes it a lot easier. John 16:33, I have spoken these things to you that you may have peace in me. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, He calling us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have, wait a minute, suffered a little while, He will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Okay? But there's a cost up front. He needs to know. Now, I don't want to even imply that God makes mistakes. He does not make mistakes. He gave each and every one of us free will. We've got our own minds to make up. We decide whether or not we're going to come to services today or not. Okay? With the angels, they weren't going to be God's family. They were just the angels. But He gave them free will, obviously, because a third of them rejected God and went turned towards Satan. What reward is there if you've already got eternal life? Now, with us, this is what hangs in the balance. This is why I'm saying this. This is what hangs in the balance. Your eternal life, my eternal life. Understanding how important it is to do the things that are commanded of us. You know, when somebody imposes suffering on us, you know, what is it we do? Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I do want to continue reading just a little bit out of the Bible study course. Just a short segment out of it. The Bible explains a great deal about why the righteous suffer in the present evil age. Most misery is brought about by Satan's pervasive influence over people and their ideas and attitude. And that was brought out in the first message as well. We see the media, things that were totally unacceptable 20, 30 years ago, 10 years ago even. Well, they're commonplace today. Some of the ads you see on TV, you know, it's something that we shouldn't have to endure, but we see it all around us. I know myself, I get angry when I see it. Just before he is crucified, Jesus explained to his disciples, if you were in the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. They persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And then John 15, starting verse 19, and this is out of the King James Version, if ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. And have you ever walked around? Do you get a lot of respect out there when you say, I'm taking 2 weeks off to go to... No. That usually gets some eyebrows raised, doesn't it? And usually starts situations. You know, Mr. Camarada was talking about just one Sabbath day. You know, I know that there are many people in God's church today, and it's going to happen tomorrow, and as long as we are physical, where they have to suffer. If they understand the truth, there's some hard decisions. Guess what? That hurts. You got to make it, you got to decide, is it going to be God's way of life or is it going to be the world's way of life? That's the way it is. When you make those decisions, which way to turn, I want to let you know, and this is what I've learned, it's suffering. You're suffering. You're agonizing over this. It's something that isn't comfortable because it's always so attractive to take the easy way out when you're in a situation, isn't it? If I do this, make it a lot easier, and no one will know. Yeah? God will. God knows our heart. Can't hide anything from him. Paul tells us that all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. 1 Peter 3:14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, you are happy. But be not afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled. Matthew 5:11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Wait a minute. He's picking on me. I'm blessed? Wow. Sometimes when you read the words and you really start trying to comprehend them, wow, there's a lot to really take in. And shall say all manner of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Much of the persecution Christians endure or encounter is really directed against Christ himself and not at you, not at me. It's against the way. It's against the way of life that you're exhibiting. It's about that light they're wanting you to extinguish that light. And it's our job to keep shining it. The life that he lived and taught is the real target. Peter explained this clearly. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. Wait a minute. This hurts. What's going on? Yeah. Why is this happening? Guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hebrews 11. Now, you know, it's funny because Hebrews 11, it's packed with suffering and affliction. You know, it's a faith chapter. By faith, Moses, when he came when he was to come years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, you've got so many different examples, as you know, I begin to conclude here, of suffering and how people responded to it. Now, we see some pretty bad examples when people are threatened, when people are challenged or find a good opportunity. They don't do the right thing. But we see more examples in this Bible of those that came before us that did the right thing. They were challenged. That's why these stories, and they're not stories, that's why all this is written for us, so we can learn from their experiences. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, Daniel's friends. Yeah. Wow. What did they go through? Daniel himself, he was thrown into the lions. Okay, you think he had a little bit of stress going on there? I know I would have. You know, we've all got different traits, different attributes, different strengths. You know, we are all individuals of one body, but we all have different functions. You know, and again, I want to say, make this very clear. There's times when we go through these stressful situations, these suffering that just won't quit. And sometimes we pair off. It's not a group effort sometimes. Sometimes it is. When it's a big, we'll say a moving party, you know, where everybody's trying to get this situation corrected for one of the brethren. Sometimes it is collective. But other times, I think more importantly, those real special times, we pair off with one another. The strengths. Parisha Doyle, she had that experience. She had that background that I had no clue how to even comprehend or deal with. Now, she told me, and I can't believe this at all, that I encouraged and inspired her. Wait a minute. No, you're doing that to me. I'm not doing that to you, you know. Keep talking, you know. And she was very special, where what she did is she lifted me up. She made me know it was going to be okay. That's hard. That's hard. Going to be okay. Going to be okay. Now, today, and I am very, very thankful to God, thankful to the prayers that all of you have provided, I don't have cancer today. Now, Parisha was very experienced with that. When I first met her, she was in remission. Well, I don't know what I've got, but I don't have cancer right now. My neck doesn't hurt right now. I feel like God has given me everything I've needed just when I've needed it. Now, he tells us, you know, don't hide it under a basket. You know, we're supposed to be a city that shines. We're supposed to be the light of the world, individually and collectively. Now, I was a little apprehensive about giving a message on suffering because for me it seemed to be the most obvious topic to bring up. You know, it seems like I wanted to show off, I guess, the blessings that God has provided to all of us, not just to me. I'm healthy when, frankly, the doctors are wondering why. And I like that. It gives you kind of a good sense, you know, a good feeling. You know, Paul, if there's anybody that really has any experience with suffering, it was the Apostle Paul. You know, three times beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep. Man, this guy went through some stuff. You know, we know that Job went through some stuff. But, you know, when it push came to shove, I want to just read 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm just going to read verse 28. Besides those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, take the care of all the churches. He had only one goal in mind. This is through everything he did, no matter what Paul did, what he went through. And I mean, there were times he was stoned, and he picked this, you know, broken body up, and he went on, and he healed up, and he went out, and he kept preaching the word of God. He didn't stop. Now, The one thing that none of us can ever do, and this is where it's so easy when you're in the heat of battle, and man, that fight is just so tough. Your opponent, you don't know where that next jab's coming from, and oh man, is this going to stop? You know what? That's when you need to suck it up, I hate to say it, and say, you know, God, please give me more. Give me more of your spirit. Give me more of your love. Give me more of your grace. And he will provide it. He gives us what we need when we need it. I've got my notes here, and again, I definitely realize my notes are, I've got way more information than I can cover. But I've got my notes here. Paul didn't stop for anything. He didn't stop for anything. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 1, "Be you followers of me, even as I am followers of Christ." And that's the King James Version. You know, Paul, all kinds of things went on. First Peter 4:16. If a man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If you suffer as a Christian, okay, what does that really mean, suffering as a Christian? Well, again, that word suffering, it's a huge word. It can cover a lot of ground. What it means, don't be ashamed to first shine your light or show the miracles of God that he has provided to you, that he has given to you. Brethren, I don't want to stand myself up here and say, I'm a miracle. No, I'm not. God has provided me with what I've needed. And he has answered, I believe, the prayers of those who put them up on my behalf. I'm healthy. That could change tomorrow. Like Parisha said, I could get hit by a bus. You know, it doesn't matter if I have cancer, if I have a stiff neck or sore neck. It doesn't matter, if my engine blows up in my car. This life is fleeting. This life is short. You know, what seems to be an eternity to us, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. We just learned of a guy 112 years old, one of the oldest guys in the United States, just passed away. Yeah, but it could be somebody 35 years old. Doesn't matter. It can end tomorrow. What we need to do is focus on what we're doing today. And we need to be there for each other. We need to be there for those that need us, the world. The world. We need to be that light. We need to be that example. In concluding now, I'm just going to sum it up here. Having a clear perspective of the future and understanding of God's purpose for us is crucial in facing life's difficulties. Only when we earnestly look forward to the glories of the kingdom of God, and I got this highlighted, when we stop looking around us today here, you know, what can I make in this world? Can I work some overtime to get a little extra money? No, when we stop looking around and we look at what God has provided to us, and we look at what is in the future, right? When we see what God is going to give us. Certainly our trials and difficulties are real and cannot be wished away. Yet their long-term importance pales to the insignificance when compared with the realization of our great calling. And you can just reference Philippians 3:11 through 14. Brethren, I want to conclude right here, and that's in Romans 8. And so I'm going to end this message right now in Romans 8. For I reckon, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's you and me. That's you and me. If we don't stop running, if it's a race, if we don't stop boxing, it's a battle. We can't stop. Hey, you get tired. You get burnt out. I do all the time. There are so many things I am so grateful to the time I spent with Parisha, who kind of set me straight. Let me know that, you know, don't be so full of yourself. Don't be so full of yourself. It's not all about you, Robert. It's about everyone else. It's about the people you're leaving if you leave. It's about trying to help others make it. That's our job. That's our job. But our own salvation is also in our hands. But you know what? Helping others make it into the kingdom, hey, that fulfills all needs, doesn't it? We're doing the job that God has intended for us to do. Brethren, this is why we all, not just me, not just you, we all must suffer together. Individually, we've got to suffer. If we don't suffer, if we don't get used to the idea of it, yeah, that's a bad word. It still hurts when I hear it. If we don't get used to suffering, if we don't embrace suffering, you know, and it tells us to embrace it, you know, literally to glorify in it. Wow. I got to work on that one, truthfully. But you know what? We all have to, I think. I don't think anyone's got it right to this point. So, brethren, this is why we must suffer to the end.